Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, April 15th of 2020. And I'm your host, as usual, the Miracle Man. And I'm so glad that you could join us tonight, wherever you may be listening from, whatever it is that you're doing right now. But I know one thing for sure. God is on our side. He always is. You never have to be alone because God's always with you. He'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. He'll never forsake you. Not for a minute. I almost said not for 5 minutes, but not for any minute. Does he leave you alone? No, he does not leave you alone, even for a minute. And he's just such an awesome God for what he does. And we need to take a stand against the wicked, against the plans of the enemy. Today I went down to the Capitol to the gridlock, Operation Gridlock, and I got to tell you, man, it was gridlocked. It was really gridlocked. It was a really good turnout. There was a lot of cool signs, but there were also some rough apples. But the message was loud and clear. She did make a comment about it. I won't get into all that, but she did have a statement to make. But you got to let those know how you feel. And you have, and I tell you, we got to keep cursing. We have to keep cursing the virus, and not just the virus. We got to deal with the demon behind us, Koran. I love what the president said. The cure cannot be worse than the disease. I'll say it again. The cure cannot be worse than the disease. I just meant, like I was saying, the cure cannot be worse than what the disease is. And I think it's time. I think you're going to see businesses start to, I hope you are, I don't know. I know there can be fines and that if you're open when you're not supposed to be. I think there's some businesses that they just want to get back to work. They don't like what's going on. Because when you see these kind of reports coming out, like what's coming out about the economy, it is not good. So we got to pray that a plan comes out quickly. Because this cannot go on indefinitely. It's unsustainable. You say, Miracle Man, are you serious? You mean to tell me it's unsustainable? Yeah, I do. Because America was not created to be shut down. It was not created to be shut down. That's not who America is. That's not how America is. And I think our governors, I think our senators, and our representatives need to get online with this and realize. And what do we do going forward? What do we do? There has to be a balance. The bottom line is we got to open our country. And we got to have the First Amendment because the problem is what freedoms you lose, too often people never get them back. Can't let that happen this time, listeners. So that's why we need to pray to God. And people need to, you got to make a stand for what you believe in. You have to. And I like what Reagan said, the people have a government. It's not the government that has a people. And I didn't hear him say it, but I've been told I was Reagan had left office like 6 months before I was even born, literally. And usually I really don't talk about politics, but sometimes I do like to take a few quick minutes when I start the show just to kind of fill you in on what's going on and give you the real deal, what CNN and MSDNC and other media outlets will not tell you. Now, also, speaking of that, I will say, spend more time listening to the prophets of the Lord than what you do listening to the prophets of the land. Because people know things. I mean, God is talking to the prophets of the land. He's showing them things. Dr. Barclay, there's some earthly things that he might not have quite the answer to, but he said again last night, he thinks that people that have been kind of lukewarm, once this is over, they're going to get hot for God. He thinks they're going to get hot for God. Oh, no amens, no excitement, just sitting there lukewarm. I see. Well, I'm excited about it at least.
Excited about it?
Amen. Because that's something to be excited about. Because as much as I want to get back into the house of God, I want to see people getting born again, people giving their life back to Jesus, making him their first love again. That's what I really want to see. Because it's about souls. And I want to see you make heaven. We're in the last of the last days. We will be gone by the time the mark of the beast comes. They say, well, let's talk about maybe next year. Will that be the mark of the beast? I don't know. But you got to make sure. You got to make sure that those you know are saved. Because we're in the last of the last days. But I will say the Bible says we won't know the day or the hour of where that Jesus will come, that the rapture will take place. We don't know the day or the hour. It'll be at an hour that we don't expect it. So that's why you need to be ready. and I tease about it, but he's not going to say on Monday, May 26th, I'm going to come. I'm going to blow the trumpet out, and I want y'all to look good and be ready. That's not how it works, does it? I don't see where he said that. He didn't say on Monday, May 26th, I'm going to come, and I want y'all to look good and be ready. He said we will not know the day or the hour. Just like the military commander will not say, I'm going to call general quarters in a few hours. General quarters means all hands, man your battle stations. This is not a drill. A lot of times there's some different stuff in there, but I don't use that language. But that's where we are right now. This is not drill time. We're in the last days. Every day we're getting closer and closer and closer to the coming of Jesus. And so, but in that, we're going to see an outpouring. And I cannot wait for that outpouring. You know, many will be saved. Many will be set free. Many will. It's just going to be great. And I just know it's going to come. And I would say that if you're a Christian, yes, you really should be praying about that. You really should be. All right. Today, of course, we're going to read the Word of God. We're going to read Luke 13. First, we're going to take authority and pray over this virus because since this started, we're taking authority over this virus and over the fear. Because there's still a lot of fear going on, and we got to curse that. The other things that I want you to do, read Psalm 23 every day out loud, and at high noon every day, set an alarm at 12 o'clock. Please, set an alarm at noon. And at noon, what do? Lift your hands up to heaven, that virus, and curse the virus, curse Koran, the name of that demon behind it, and curse that stinking thing called stupid. That's gotten on all our leaders and stuff that I've chosen to make all these one-size-fits-all decisions. And so, which, by the way, I believe they will pay a price for. So, we got to pray. We're going to pray right now. Heavenly Father, I curse this virus. I say that in the name of Jesus, this corona will die. Corona will fall to the ground right here, right now, and be powerless, and will bow before the name of the Almighty God. Your word, Lord, your word says that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess what? Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord forever and ever and ever. And I curse this virus, this little microscopic thing that you can't even see. The name of Jesus is so much greater and so much stronger and so much higher. And I curse that little pipsqueak called Torah. And stupid, the thing that comes with it. And I say that that thing draws powerless in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I pray right now, Lord Jesus, I pray for our economy. I pray that you strengthen it, and that it will, and that it comes back in the name of Jesus. It's beyond what anyone could ask or think. Thank you, Lord, that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. You said 2020 would be a year of plenty. And I continue to believe that, Lord. May it be the year of plenty. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray right now over those leaders, the leaders who have authority over us, our president, the governors of the state, down to the neighborhood wards, the counties. I pray that they would make good, sound decisions, would do, that God would show them what to do to make the best possible decisions on what to do, what to open, what not to open, what to do. And I thank you for the wisdom of God upon them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray right now over the healthcare providers. I pray that they are strong, that they would continue to, that they would just continue to keep on keeping on. I pray that your hand would be upon them, that you show them these doctors and nurses and other frontline workers what to do, Heavenly Father. And I just thank you, Lord God, that your will would be done through them. May people give their lives to you as a result of this, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I also thank you right now for our pastor, for these pastors. I pray that your hand is upon my pastor, Mark P. Barclay, along with these other pastors over these listeners. I pray right now that you're comforting these pastors, that you strengthen these churches, that they don't close, that as money will come in to these churches, as people will give their tithes and offerings into their churches. And I just thank you, Lord God, in advance for everything that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, real quick, I want to tell your listeners, please tell everyone you know how to be a part of the show. You want to call in and talk to me? The number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt, and when you hear the prompt that says to call into the live show, press 1. Go ahead and press 1. You'll be taken to the call screener, and I'll be notified that we got a caller, and then we will go from there. Now, I'm going to sing you a couple of songs. Nothing could separate, even if I ran away. Your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but your love, you're having mercy for me every day. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. The wind is strong and the water's deep, but I am not alone here in these open seas. Your love never fails. The castle was far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side. But your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Yeah, yeah. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Oh no. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. Yes, freedom is here, and I believe it. Freedom is here, freedom is here. Oh yeah, freedom is here, and I believe it. I lift my hands to the heavens. I reach my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Healing is here. Healing is here. Oh Lord, healing is here, and I believe it. Jesus is here.
Jesus is here. Yes, he is. Jesus is here. I believe it. I lift my hands to the heavens. I reach my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you, Lord. Sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed. Sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed. I lift my hand to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. Look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. Yes, it is. Freedom is here. I believe it. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for your healing power being made manifested in our bodies right now. That you're healing us, that you're freeing us, that you're delivering us, that you're here, Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that your perfect love is casting out all fear right now. Fear does not stand a chance when they're in the presence of the Lord. Fear dies in the presence of the Lord. And I thank you, Lord God, that as we study this word tonight, that people will just get right with God. And I thank you, Lord God, that as we study the word, we'll learn something more and deeper about you. And I thank you that you're meeting every need, the needs of every listener tonight who is listening right now, wherever they are listening from. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. And now, Lord God, I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners come in. I say that finances come into the show. I thank you, Lord God, that increases in listenership come. I thank you, Lord God, for a miracle taking place. Miracles, signs and wonders, signs and wonders, deliverances, freedom, healing taking place in the lives of these listeners. And most of all, I thank you for souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Luke 13, praise God. We're going to go to Luke 13. I believe everything my Bible says, no matter what the devil says, no matter what people say, no matter what my circumstances say. Amen. No matter what. Luke 13, I want to encourage you to be a part. Don't just sit there and be a puppet. Luke 13, going to begin with verse 1. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices.
Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans just because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, all of you will also perish." Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they will be more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, all of you will also perish. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he didn't find any. So he said to the man, "Care the vineyard." He said, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I will dig it. I will dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, cut it down." On a Sabbath, verse 10, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "Yay! Hallelujah! Everybody get up and shout and praise God!" Wait. And the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrite! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then shouldn't this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what had bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things that he was doing. Pause. I imagine that they were clapping, shouting, and all that after what they had seen. I imagine all that guy did was make them louder. Don't you?
Yeah.
But they weren't cheering at the ruler. I'm sure. Next one. Mustard seed. 18. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It's like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted it in his garden. It grew, and it became a tree. And the birds of the air perched in its branches. Again he asked, shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It's like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Verse 22. Then Jesus went to the towns and the villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow gate, the narrow door, because many, I tell you, many will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. He will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our street. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, you evildoers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. But you yourselves are thrown out. People will come from the east and west and the north and the south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you. He replied, go tell that fox. He called him a fox. He called him a fox. I will drive out demons and will heal today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those that are sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. All right. So, what you see here is Jesus goes and he heals this. He goes and he heals this lady who's crippled. Now, how she's crippled is by a spirit kept her from being able to be straightened up. She could stand, but she wasn't straightened up at all. She was bent over. She was like one of those animals that would always just be always bent over all the time. She was like that for 18 years.
And let me get to that story. I want you to see this. The Sabbath, Norman was there for my spirit for 18 years. She was bent over, could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." That's a great thing for Jesus to say. For him to just say, "Rivers, you are set free from your infirmity." He said, "You are set free. You are set free." Put his hands on her. Immediately, she straightened up and praised God. But then, of course, you know, the synagogue ruler has to get up, and he had to say, "There's 6 days for work. Why not come be healed on one of those days?" Luckily, and of course, the Pharisees, you know, they had something to say about. Luckily, those in the synagogue, the congregation, they weren't having it. All they did was give even more glory to God, shouted, praise God, and they loved what they had seen Jesus do.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these Pharisees, some of these Sadducees, I think some of them didn't have any other job but to harass Jesus. Yeah, which is sad, you see. They didn't have anything else to do. Some of them probably followed him to all of his meetings, or at least to like over half of them. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them. Oh yeah. There was airplanes back then. Some of them probably had airplanes that could maybe get there faster. Yeah. They just to get there, and of course they'd make it so that they'd always sit in different spots so that he would never notice them, right?
Anything by Jesus, he stopped everything.
Oh yeah, but I just thought they would just sit in all these random places, so he tried to maybe not.
Yeah.
He'd
be discreet.
Yeah, be all discreet, sit in the back, and right when the miracle happens, everybody's all getting all excited. Oh, but the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which is sad, they had to do something to get in the way, say something to get in the way. Of that miracle. Now the miracle still happened, but they were all like, "Why are you doing it on the Sabbath day?" This isn't the only time where people were mad because he healed someone on the Sabbath day. Jesus decided he was going to do his work. I imagine she knew that he was going to be there that day, probably got the little pamphlet, got the little something. Maybe she was out and about and saw a huge crowd, figured what was going on, and then was like, "I'm going to go see what that is," because obviously there's all these people there, and of course there's no microphones. So she's in there and she's listening to Jesus, and then imagine he's preaching, and then at the end of his message he calls up those who need healing, and then she's one of the ones who goes up there, and he says, "You're free," and then Jesus had to address the Pharisee, that synagogue ruler. Because he was basically getting in the way of that woman who had been suffering for 18 long years. 18 long years. It doesn't say where her faith level had been, because in other stories where we read about throughout the New Testament, where Jesus did miracles and healed people, in other places, it'll say things like,
your faith has healed you, or it'll be as you have said. Basically, the way of saying, it is because of your great faith that I'm doing this. Other times you ask them, do you believe I have authority to do this? Other times, he told them something to do, and if they did it, they received it. Why is it always different? We don't know why. It's just like what I said yesterday. We don't always know why. Different miracle. I mean, well, he always operates different. All these different stories were put there in your Bible so that you could realize it. Because there's all these different avenues that Jesus uses to do miracles. Well, other times he uses, sometimes they'll do it instantly, other times he uses the recovery system that can involve doctors and the like, surgeries and other things. That's how we operate. And regardless of the miracle that you believe in God for, sometimes it just happens instantly. Maybe that miracle is a new job. Maybe that miracle is you believe in God for a new, I don't know, new car. Maybe you haven't been able to have your first child yet. And for whatever reason, you're happily married, but you want children and you can't get pregnant. And then finally, miracle happens. You get pregnant and you have that baby boy or that baby girl. What is that thing that you believe in God for? Are you willing to obey God to get that thing that you believe in for? God wants to give you the desires of your heart. Whatever they are, as long as it's his will for you to have them. What is that desire of your heart? Now, for one of these kids, these little kids, it might be a new bike. Or maybe one of those transfigure things. I don't know what those are. Those don't talk to me, so I don't bother with, I never bothered with them. For different people, it's different things. But what is that thing that you believe in God for? Or what is that thing that you used to have that you want God to restore? Because God is also a restorer. Like that woman, she was restored. She was restored. She used to be able to stand up. 15 years she had that infirmity and she couldn't. According to what I read in that story, it doesn't seem to me like she was living in fear. But there was a spirit in there. There was a spirit. And what the spirit did basically was just make it so that she couldn't stand up straight. She could get up, but she was so bent over. But Jesus healed her. Later in the chapter, when they're somewhere else, people ask Jesus to go somewhere else. And then he tells them, I will go today, tomorrow, and the next day. I must continue to do my ministry. And then I will have reached my goal. And then he tells them, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. See me again. That's what he told him. You'll see me when you say, blessed is he that comes in the name, but not until. And he meant it. I know he meant it. And about this narrow gate, and about this narrow door, I want to deal with this narrow door thing. You know, we're in the last days. Time is very short. The more time goes on, the closer we're getting to the coming of the Lord. And I want you to enter, I want to see you enter through the narrow door, not the wide door. In Matthew it says, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many find it. Narrow is the gate. That leads to eternal life. And only a few find it. And in the Luke version of the story, he says, people will be coming from the east and the west and the north and the south. Many of them will find their places at the table with Jesus. But then to those who chose not to believe, or those who claim to, we did all this stuff in your name. We all we did this and we did that, and I saved 300,000 souls in my ministry, and I healed all these people of all. And then he says, I never knew you. I don't know you. I don't know where you come from. And I'll say, away from me, you evil doers. Away from me. And those people will be left out in the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't want to be like that. I want Jesus to say to me, come in, sit at the table with me. Enjoy some nice Kentucky Fried Chicken or whatever that tasty fried chicken or whatever they got at the table prepared. It'll be something tasty and yummy. But I'll say, come to my banqueting table. In other words, come into heaven. Come into the kingdom. But to the others, it won't be that way for those others. For those who decided not to obey God, or that they didn't really do it with a pure heart, and they just, maybe they were user-friendly, or maybe they were seeker-sensitive or whatever. Those verses that say where these people are claiming, you know, we did all these souls, we did all these great miracles, and then he says, away from me, you workers of iniquity. Do you think that partly has to deal with seeker-sensitive preachers? I think that could partly be what he's talking about, partly. Because the problem is, because the deal is, listeners, we got a lot of those in America right now, but God's dealing with them. He's going to deal with them. But those who do it the right way, who win souls for Jesus, those who are pure about it, those who are clean, those who do everything that he told them to do, they will be, they will be just, they will be welcomed into the kingdom of God, and they'll have their seat at the table, at the banquet with the Lord. And what a great banquet that'll be. And I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, you know, the time is getting short, very short. Are you, for those of you who are saved, are you making an effort to get people saved? Because let's face it, the only thing you can take with you to heaven is people. There might be a stock coffee in there, in heaven for you, Mom, but I'm sorry, I can't take it up there for you. Yeah, we have to pray that it's provided. Yeah, I suppose it's the same for my donuts also. I know it. But the Bible does say, in my Father's house are many mansions. So for years ever since I had heard a certain person speak that way, and I had known that for years prior to that, but that made me think, is there all this certain things and you know, other donuts and all that, but I truly want to see you make heaven. And I want to, not only that, I want to see you take people with you. People who are otherwise bound for damnation, choosing to give their life to Jesus Christ and to serve him with everything they have. Because you want to enter through that, enter through the narrow gate, that straight gate. That gate is through Jesus. Not through the world, not through the devil, not all the having one foot in the world, one foot in the church. You can't mix and match. Teeter totter, in for a while, out for a while, in for a while, out for a while. Can't be doing that. You got to choose. In or out, because like I said, time is short. Time is short, so you got to choose. You got to choose. And you got to have faith for your soul. You got to say, I believe that in the name of Jesus, that God uses me today to win a soul for Jesus. The Bible says if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Just imagine what three can do, or four, or eight, or ten. Stuff. But I've been told people are coming into the kingdom of God as a result of what's going on. People are deciding that, hey, maybe I should get right with God. They're deciding maybe I should truly get right with God. And those who didn't know him, I should meet him, and I should get saved. And that's what they're all saying. Many people are saying right now, they're deciding to get right with Jesus. they're deciding to get right with Jesus, their Savior. Because, like I said, the time we live in, time to get right. And to quit messing around and make this spiritual walk of yours for real. And not just be one of those who just fly in by the seat of your pants. Now, shouldn't be living in fear either. You should be having, like I said last night, is fearing the Lord. And by fear, I mean serving. Working with. Not being afraid of. Because being afraid will hurt you. Being afraid, trying to think who being afraid hurt. I mean, help. Nobody that I know of hurts them. Hurts you. You're afraid. And if you're living in fear, it's going to hurt you like none other. And so you need to get it right with God and not allow fear to minister to you. And Jesus didn't say what that spirit is that got on that woman. But a spirit had gotten on her and caused her to be bent over. I mean, he called it a spirit. He didn't name it. I'm not going to try to guess what the name was either. But like I said, she went in there all bent over, got Jesus rebuked that spirit. In my name, not you. I'm just saying, like, what I'm imagining what Jesus did. I imagine he said, "I in the name of the Father." I imagine that's what he did. And then this lady's, she straightened up, stood up, praised God. But all those and all the congregation was all excited and happy about what they had seen. But the leader, that synagogue ruler, decided, nope. Trying to seems to me like maybe it might have been one of those, I don't know, maybe one of those Catholics, maybe, or something, no, maybe one of those certain denominations, or maybe got their degree from the seminary. And maybe he decided, we won't be having any of this radical stuff happening in the church. Won't be having no more shouting, no more clapping. We come in here, you just sit down and be quiet. And I'll teach to you for like 10 minutes. Start at 10 out of 11. Or start at 10 out at 10:45. Or whatever. Where there's no power, no Holy Ghost. Sing a couple songs, rub a couple beads together, take an offering. You might say a couple words, maybe read you a bedtime story. Service is over. But this ain't what happened. But I mean, Jesus He told him. He told that ruler. He said, he called him a hypocrite even. He said, you hypocrite. How can you stand in the way of this woman who has been suffering for 18 long years? 18 years. That's a long time to suffer with something. Nagging her on. Day after day after day after week after month after year. Then he tells her, you are free from your infirmity, and she gets up. I don't think she was had doubt either, because if she had all kinds of doubt, she would be like, wait a minute, what'd you say? I don't feel any different. I'm not saying what could go through some people's head, you know? And then she just gets right up. Hadn't been able to do that for 18 years. Obviously, I'm sure he or she had to help her so that she didn't fall. Because when you're used to that for 18 years, you get used to it. And so all those people are clapping and shouting, but that one, but then that ruler is like, hold it. And then he's like, come on those other days. And I know the Bible says keep the Sabbath holy. How is coming in and getting healed on the Sabbath day not keeping the Sabbath holy? Somebody tell me. See, that means something. There's nothing wrong with coming in on the Sabbath and getting healed. It's just like another story. You said, which is lawful to do on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? And then the guy answers him in that, and because someone else didn't like someone else getting healed on the Sabbath. And John has a couple different stories like that too, where people are mad, where you got these different Sadducees and Pharisees, and you got you know, synagogue rulers and that, who are like, Jesus, or you'll tell the specific synagogue ruler, he confronted that lady specifically and said, come and be healed on those other days. And she's all looking at him like, huh? I've suffered for all this time. And you want to stand in the way. I'm sure that made her take a lap. And I don't mean a hike from the building, like, because she was angry. I mean take a lap around that church, that synagogue. Someone salt and shout unto God. I'm sure. Because some people just don't get it. Some people just don't. They think that anyone who's got the Holy Ghost is radical. Anyone who speaks in tongues, radical. Anyone who has church that lasts more than an hour, radical. Oh, you got live worship at your church? You're radical. No, we got the Holy Spirit go to our church. The miracle working power of God. I don't know what it is about some of these other pastors, or not have you. some of these people who like to go after some of these other pastors from like these different denominations. I don't know what it is. They want to hide the Holy Ghost in the back room so they don't scare away visitors. Huh? Sorry, we're not going to pray in tongues today. We're not going to shout. We got visitors. What? We hit him in the back room. Hide him in the back room like that. The Bible warns against quenching, grieving, and resisting the Holy Spirit. Don't quench him. Don't grieve him. Don't resist him. And when you throw him in the back room, that's what you're doing. So by all means, you got to have that power of God working. But you can't make it up. There has to be a presence, a true presence of the Lord. Where they overall they do is hype it. That won't be the real thing. I've actually heard of a certain event some years ago in my time. Was I there? I won't say. Thought it was real. Seemed like people were getting healed of the power of God. Seemed like people were being raised from the dead. And all this kind of stuff was happening. Turns out, this minister later got into trouble. And didn't it turn out, Mom, that some of those miracles didn't even happen?
No, we saw some real miracles.
But like I said, I wasn't saying whether we were there or not. What you meant to say is there were some real miracles, is what you meant to say. There were some real miracles that actually took place, but there was a big fallout over it, and it turned out that wasn't necessarily the real power of God. You got to make sure that it's the real Holy Ghost. Don't drive out demons. It's just like those people we read about towards the end of that. Luke 13, we've cast out demons in your name and all that. And he said, away from me, you evildoers. Do you want to hear Jesus say that to you?
No.
Nope, me neither. I would much rather him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Come into my kingdom. Meet all these people. Sit down and have a donut. Put some ice cream on it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe some cookies and cream, ice cream, something yummy. But anyhow, he want to have the real Holy Spirit, not some counterfeit. Because Jesus is the real miracle worker. He is, and I know he is. And so, listeners, like I say, time is short. I want to make sure that you're right with God. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, give your life to him right now. If you have accepted him as your Lord, but you've kind of walked away. You've kind of decided, I know him, but kind of chosen to walk away, and I repent. I'm sorry. I want to come back. You can totally come home to Jesus, and you need to. Or maybe You're a third type of person. I've accepted Jesus into my Lord, into my life, and I love him, but I'm just kind of, maybe I've just drifted a little bit, and I'm just kind of, maybe I'm just too familiar, or maybe I'm just not where I should be. There's hope for you as well. Or if you're in a good place with Jesus, good for you. But if you want either one of those other three people, either one of those other three, you don't know them, or you've walked away, or you're just, or generally you've been just kind of decent, but not really what you should be, kind of like lukewarmy. Then it's time for you to come home. Because I'm going to say it again. God said, I would that you were cold or hot. Because you were neither cold or hot, you were lukewarm, I will spew you out. God, I don't want that for you. That's why, like I said, I want to help you. I want to see, and I want to see you make heaven. Time is short. I mean, this, what's going on now, has totally made it clear that we are in the last of the last days. We are. And so, in a minute, I'm going to pray a prayer. I want you to pray it with me because I want to see you make heaven. And if you're not right, you can get right. And you want to know something cool? When someone gives their life back to Jesus or gives it to him for the first time, or someone decides not to be drifting off no more and to come right back in, the angels throw a huge party in heaven. Yes, they do. Say this with me, listeners. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart fresh and new. I'm done being my own God, living my own way, and doing my own thing. I ask you to come and change me, fix me, make me new. Show me your way. Teach me, show me your will. Show me how I can be like you, Lord. Make me who you want me to be. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord, repent of my sin, and I commit my life to you as a living sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. For those of you who decided to come to the kingdom of God for the first time, welcome to the kingdom of God. For those of you who came back in, who left the kingdom of God, who drifted away and decided to come home, welcome back home. For those of you who prayed the prayer, just because I said pray it, feels just as good this time as it did the previous time. Amen and amen. Lord, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that for what you did for that woman Thank you, Lord God, for your miracle working power in our lives, Jesus. The miracles that you're doing, that you're casting out all fear and all discouragement, and that you're dealing with our hearts. I thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on us. Thank you, Lord God, for that narrow door that people can enter to the kingdom of God through that narrow door. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Now, in terms of sports, the NBA, MLB, and NHL have not yet made up their minds on what they're going to do for the season. I can tell you that NFL draft will still happen next week, albeit without fans, but it's still going to happen. And I'll be talking more about that next week. And I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague shall come near us, because Jesus has given you, Jesus, have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. No drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no sickness, no disease, no corona, flood, no crash, no terrorists. None of this evil stuff is going to come near us, our immediate loved ones. And we're going to live in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. I love you. And until next time, God first, God always.